time of the Lord this morning. Brother True Light Baptist Church. Been getting into a lot of new churches, which we're glad about that. We're even happier that they want us to come back. Amen. Hello. A lot of people don't like strong preaching anymore. Amen. I'm not a strong preacher. I have to obey the Lord. Amen. And we're certainly happy to be back here with you folks again. And having a wonderful time. Prophet's Chamber is wonderful. I talked to a preacher the other day, asking about his church, stuff like that. He got a Prophet's Chamber. Yes, we do. We just had a mission, they stayed in, and they trashed the place. I said, what? Yes, they trashed the place. I said, I don't know. I wouldn't support them. Anyways, we like the Prophet's Chamber here. It's really nice. Good place to call home at times. Well, take your Bibles. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. My wife's got some pictures. She probably showed some of you. Our trailblazer that we had is no longer in existence. Amen. We had a meeting 3 weeks ago in Ohio. We started out for Ohio. Got about 2 hours down the road to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Developed some car trouble. So the church that I preached at, and we wheeled in there. And the pastor was there. I said, I think I'm having trouble with my Catholic conversion. Let me check it out. He said, okay, so he put his computer on. And he said, yeah, it's giving me some trouble. I scheduled to go in Tuesday to be repaired. I was passing, anybody in church got a car that we can borrow to get to the meeting? He says, take mine and go. So we did. And had a good meeting. And it cost me $800 to have that Catholic converter changed. All set up, ready to go in the shop Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock. So we got back to Michigan Monday, loaded up, and took off. And I had to force that thing down the road. It just would not run. It was on I-75, four lanes of traffic, and I was holding up traffic. I had my four ways on. My wife says, let's call a wrecker and have it towed to the repair shop. I said, that's a good idea. Let's do that. And then, boom, here come the smoke. Pulled off the road. I popped the hood. I left the hood about that far. Nothing but flames underneath there. And we started getting stuff out of the car. Some young guy comes to a screeching halt. Out of 9,000 people going by, one person. You got to help them old people get their stuff out of the car. So we got everything out. And praise the Lord for that. Called the fire department, and they were there within 7 minutes. The fire chief told me, he said, it's fortunate for you that it happened where it happened. I said, why? He said, any place else have been volunteer fire department. He said, they wouldn't have got the fire out in time. That's fortune, huh? Yeah. I said, well, I know what God wants to do. So it burnt to a crisp all the way from front to back, except for my back two tires. They were brand new. They did not burn. That's all that's left. So we started praying, calling churches to pray that God would supply a Tahoe for us. We'd like to get a Tahoe. And then we started pricing Tahoes. I said, Lord, you're going to do something really big. And what? Took my suits up to dry cleaners, dropped them off, took off, come back. The next day, the same area, and here sits this Yukon. My wife says, we've got to go back and look at it. Okay. Pulled in the yard. We've been praying for barn doors on the back of it, because I bumped my head and I hatched that trail budget so many times. And so I started to look at the front of it, and my wife says, babe, come here. It's got barn doors. So I called the guy and came out. He wanted a lot of money for it. Beautiful vehicle. 1998, a little bit older than what we wanted to go, but it was a one-owner vehicle. The guy worked for GM. Had 157,000 miles on it in 1998. that trailblazer had 390,000 almost. Amen. And still would be running today, but anyway. So we're driving that now. I'll tell you what, a trailblazer was fine, except for this cramped for 2 week meeting. We're cramped out. I mean, no room. I couldn't stop at a yard sale, but no place to put anything. That's tragic. Tragic. But now, we have room. I was coming back from Illinois one time. We stopped at this furniture shop, used furniture shop. I was looking around, and there's this desk in there. Maple desk, not a scratch on it. My wife says, I want that. And I said, well, yeah, but look at the price. And so I walked around, called the lady, I said, ma'am, how much was this? $45. And all right, so I just went around, ignored her, looking at other stuff. Called it, ma'am, yes, what dollar would take that home with me today? She says, $35. I said, sold. We just come back from a 2 week meeting. I didn't put anything on top of the trailblazer. Everything was inside. We got it home. See, being an evangelist, you know how to pack, amen. And so we got that. But now we got lots of room for yard sales and whatever, amen. I mean, we got it. So you pray for us, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Father, we come before thee, thanking thee for this time. This place, these folks here, the pastor. Dear God, we need some help tonight. And I pray, I don't know who needs the message, but you do. Please help me deliver it. Holy Spirit, I need your touch. I need you to touch my mind, my mouth, and guide me. Help me say the right things I need to say. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me tonight. Father, I love you. Thank you for going to do. In your name I pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look, if you will, at verse number 9. Paul says this, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, and be obedient in all things. Paul was writing here, and he says, I want to know the proof of you. You know, God would like to know the proof of us, amen? Many times God calls us to do something, he wants to know the proof of us. Are we worthy of the price that was paid for us, amen. Proof of you. May be obedient in all things. For to whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. But if you forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to preach for a little while. This particular subject tonight, some cheap shots from a stinking devil. We are at war, folks. You understand what I'm saying? Not with each other. We are at war tonight against good and evil, amen. Evil is going like crazy out there, but good needs to overcome that, amen. We are at war. A lot of times in church, it seems like each other are fighting with each other in churches. We're not. That's what the devil wants. He wants us fighting amongst each other. We're never going to conquer anything for Christ if we're fighting amongst each other, amen. We're supposed to be a people of faith and trust, amen. Hello. But let a disease come from China, and what happens to our faith? Hello. Some cheap shots from a stinking devil. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter number 6, if you will, real quick. Ephesians 6. We are fighting against the devil himself. The Bible says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, we've got that today. Spiritual wickedness in high places, folks. We've got that. It's alive and might very much well. Hey, Isaiah chapter number 1 real quick before I start the preaching here. Isaiah 1, we are going to look at a verse of scripture that describes America. Verse number 4 says this, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children of corruptors, They've forsaken the Lord. They provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. And if there's anything that describes America in the Bible, there it is. Amen. We have become a sinful nation. We used to be called, I remember in school, being taught that we were a Christian nation at one time. We used to be that. Hello? But not anymore. A sinful nation we have become. Didn't happen overnight, amen. It just kept creeping in and creeping in and creeping in. And buddy, we've become a sinful nation. Children are corruptors. We got wickedness in our own churches today, amen, because children are not behaving themselves like they ought to behave themselves. Hello? My daddy didn't put up with that kind of stuff. My daddy, he's an old-time preacher, amen. Eighth grade education, but he knew the Lord, amen. Hello? He didn't put up a foolishness in the church house, amen. Hey, well, his devices, we're not ignorant of them. What's a device, brother? Quick, first of all, distress. He wants to put you in distress tonight, to cause you great difficulties and worries about things that you ought not to be worried about at all. Hello? He wants to cause you to worry. Christians, we ought to be living a, let me say it this way, a worry-free life, amen. Why? The battle's been done, folks. Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood that day on the cross of Calvary to purchase our souls. The battle's been won. Hello. But the devil's not going to give up. He wants to put you in distress, cause you to worry, be concerned about this, about that, or whatever. Y'all travel on the road like my wife and I travel on the road. Coming down here, we just about was in a bad accident on the highway over there. Some guy with some Jeep with a hot rod, you come barreling through like that. You couldn't put your hand between fenders, amen. But God was there. Amen. And if I was going to be a worrisome Christian, I'd stay home, amen. Stay off the road, amen. Anyway. Distress. Distress. He wants you in distress. Oh, boy, oh, boy. He wants to cause you to worry. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. Bible says in verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's not going to give up on you, folks. He wants to devour you. Hello, he wants to devour, first of all, your faith. Hello, he doesn't want you trusting God. No, he doesn't like that. Hello, he doesn't want you trusting God. He wants to devour your faith. Hello, and he's going to do whatever he can to get at your faith. So I don't know what's coming your way tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is a bad day. It's Monday, amen. Everybody says, oh, I dread Mondays. But if you're living with for God, amen, doesn't matter what kind of day comes by, amen, you trust him for your, you'll get through, amen. You want to devour your faith. Your faith. David put it this way. Go to Psalms, if you will, chapter number 18. Psalms 18. He says this. Verse number 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Folks, listen to me, folks. If you've got a problem sometime, you want to talk to God, you're never, ever going to have a busy signal, amen, between here and heaven. Remember the old party lines? I remember the old party lines. The two old biddies get on there talking about this or that, and they tie up the line forever. But when it comes to talking to God, God says, I've got open ears. I'm ready to hear you. Amen. Just talk to me. Just talk to me. He wants to devour your faith. He wants you trusting in God. Hello. David said this in verse chapter number 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. David said, I know who God is. He is my high tower I'm going to lean upon. I'm trusting in him, David said. But the devil wants to devour your trust, your faith. Then he wants to devour something else. He wants to devour your family. Listen to me, folks. I love seeing good Christian families. Brother Thornsley's family. Those boys can sing their guts out in church, amen. Hello. They're the loudest ones singing in church, amen. And the devil don't like that. He wants to start with just one child, to turn that one child upside down, to get at that family. The devil don't like that. Bible says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom shall not stand. Bible says also, if a family divided itself, that family shall not stand. The devil wants your family. He'll do whatever he can do against your family. He wants to devour something else. He wants to devour your finances. You understand what I'm saying? Your pastor told me about your faith promise. The devil don't want you giving to faith promise. No. There's many other things you can spend your money on. Why give it to a missionary? You know, we have traveled many times. We have traveled a lot of hours for a $100 love offering. Hello. We made it. But the devil wants to tie you up, your finances. He wants you so wrapped up in some kind of bill someplace, maybe Walmart, credit card, whatever. He wants you so tied up you cannot give. You know? He wants your finances. You know? Let me tell you something. There was this poor church in the Bible. I want you to go there. 2 Corinthians, if you will. Chapter number 8. A very poor church. The Bible says, verse number 1, more brethren, we went the grace of God bestowed upon the church of Macedonia, upon a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty, abound in the riches of the Lord. Beloved. This church was poor, amen. Folks, they didn't have hardly two dimes to run together, but yet they were a happy, happy church. And churches today are going bankrupt with happiness. Amen. Not too many people are happy in church anymore. But these people were happy. Amen. The Bible says God blessed that over and above what they ever expected. Amen. You want your finances. Then time or two I've been in meetings. Offering plate was passed. We was in Rockford, Illinois one time. We still had the bus back then. Three children at home. I passed the plate and I emptied my wallet, everything I had. My wife didn't have any money. That was all we had right there. I had meetings to get to after that meeting. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. But I said, Lord, you told me to do that. I did. I obeyed you. Now, what's going to happen? We left there with enough money to make the next meeting after that, amen. Hell, why? Because I'm trusting God, amen. Your faith promise. There are missionaries that have sold themselves out to God, amen, to go to a foreign country, to do one, not to have a vacation there, to reach souls, amen, which we're all supposed to be reaching souls, but they're going to a foreign land. You know? And churches today can't give to that. Well, he wants your faith, he wants your family, he wants your finances. He also wants your fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. You think about that. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Paul was locked up in jail one time or another, shipwrecked, all kinds, even dragged out of a city and stoned to death. When them stones rolled away, folks, guess what happened? Paul got back up. They said, Paul, what you going to do? He said, I'm going back. That same city, the stone? Yes, there are souls there. I'm going back. He said, I'm not giving up the fight. I'm going to keep on going. He wants your faith, your finances, your family. He wants your fight. He wants your future. Hello? Wait a minute, Brother Quick. He's after your testimony. If he can ruin your testimony, your future's shot. The Bible says we are to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lieth within us. You might meet somebody tomorrow. They'll ask you, why you go to Victory Independent Baptist Church? Why you dress up to go to church? You've got to have the answer. Why? Because that's a precious soul right there that could end up in hell or heaven. You know? He's after that. He's trying to devour Christians. Well, distress. Distress. But Brother Quick, how am I going to get... What can I do? Jeremiah 33, if you will, real quick. I'll move on. Jeremiah 33. How can I get a hold of this? 33. The Bible says this, verse number 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah, the second time, while I was shut up in the court of prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, established it, the Lord is his name. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee the great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Folks, if you're not a praying person, you need to get praying, amen. If you're not a praying person, you're probably not even saved, amen. Listen to me, folks. We prayed for Tahoe. Really wanted a Tahoe. It was a brand new one, 2017. Brand new, brand white. I didn't really want the color. But we're sitting in this thing. Everything was push button. It was a fancy thing, you know. Salesman came out and he said, can I help you? I said, we're just looking. Can I give you a price? He said, I'll give you a price. You take this at home right now today. I said, all right, without tax. How much is it? He said, you can have this one right here today for $72,000 and some change. I said, I'm not building a house. I want a car to drive. Hello? So we begin to pray for Tahoe. No. It's not a Tahoe sitting out there. It's a Yukon. No. GMC. God's mercy came. Amen. Who's on the side of that road? On fire. But God's mercy showed up. Amen. Better than finding driving a Ford, fix or repair daily. Found the road dead. I've got mercy out there, amen. There's mercy sitting out there. Hello. Oh. Oh, well. You probably drive Fords, right?
No.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. He's much distressed and he wants you discouraged. Another cheap shot from the devil. He wants you discouraged. Discouraged is taking away your courage to say something for the Lord. He wants you discouraged. Remember Elijah? Victorious Elijah. Never lost a battle. Hello? God said, go down and take care of them false prophets. He said, just slit their gizzards from one end to the other and take care of them false prophets. Elijah said, I'll do that. He went down and did the job. While he was cleaning off his sword, amen. Jezebel says, I like that. Elijah, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you like one of them. And all of a sudden, victorious Elijah, a man that's never run before, turned tail and ran. Hello? turned tail and ran like a scared rabbit. He left his servant beside the road, went a little bit further. When you're discouraged, folks, when discouragement sets in, there's some things going to happen in your life. First of all, you're going to pray wrong. Elijah started praying, God, take my life. It's there. Take my life, God. I'm 10-11. I read that time and I asked Elijah, why don't you let Jezebel do it? No. You're going to pray wrong. Hello? Remember Jeremiah? He said the wrong thing. He said, I'll not make mention of you ever again, my God. But just a couple of verses further on, you'll find out there's a little fire burning. Jeremiah. Hello. So you're going to pray wrong, say wrong, you're going to do wrong. When you're discouraged, you are going to flat do wrong. Moses is up there talking to God. Hello? Have a sweet fellowship with our God. God said, you need water. Yes. He said, you go down there to that rock that's down there. And he said, you speak to that rock and you'll have some of the sweetest water ever. So he started down the mountain. And he saw those Baptist Israelites having a party. Hello? And he got mad. And instead of speaking to the rock, the Bible says he struck it twice. It cost him something. It cost him the promised land that God had promised to give to him, But because he did the wrong thing, it cost him. Discouragement. Discouragement will kill a church. Discouragement will tear a family apart. Hello? Discouragement. We see discouragement a lot. We see it a lot. But how do I get this back? Yeah, I'll tell you something. There was this people that we knew, Christian people, they had a campground. And I said, Brother Quick, if you ever need some rest, just pull in, pick any campground you want. It's yours for it, however you need it. And so we pulled in one time. Beautiful campground, big long lake there. Wonderful place. Quiet. And this old brother, he came out. He said, Brother Quick, he said, we're going to take you fishing. I said, where's the boat? He said, no. Take deep water fishing, Brother Quick. So we're on Lake Huron. Started fishing. I like to fish, okay? I do. I like to fish. I like to hunt, stuff like that. So we're trolling out there, and all of a sudden my pole went, boom, down. I set the hook, and I thought, boy, I got the bottom of the lake. It's not moving. So I worked. I pulled, I reeled. Finally, it started moving. It took me 45 minutes. I mean, I was sweating like a beast out there. Fishing. Hello? 45 minutes later, I saw the fish roll his belly up next to me. Amen. I thought, it is a fish. Amen. Big old honking thing. What happened? This guy right here discouraged that fish. That fish gave up the fight. Hello? The devil is going to be after you, trying to get you discouraged. Somewhere, somehow, maybe a job around the church someplace, somehow. I remember hearing about this old lady. Her job was cleaning the toilets. The pastor came and said, oh, sister, you're old and bending. That's not really good for you. I'm going to give you another job. She says, no, I want my job. I'm doing this for God. No, I'm going to give you the. You take my job away, but I'll quit the church, she says. Cleaning toilets. That was her ministry. The devil will do whatever he can do to get you discouraged, to make you quit. Our Savior did not quit. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. And when he said, it's finished, it had just begun. Hello. It had just begun. Because when he said it was finished, that's when my new life started. Hello. Aren't you excited about being saved tonight? I mean, excited about me. Are you as happy tonight as you were the night you got saved? Hello! Discouragement. That fish, the biggest fish I ever caught in my life, it was a trout or something like that. I don't like trout, so I gave it away. Salmon, they're all in the same family. Anyways, if it was smoked, I'd eat it, amen. I can't. Anyways, we caught three of them that night. Wow. But that fish gave up the battle. And this guy won. The devil is waiting for you to give up the battle so he can chalk up another one saying, I won again. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But how do I get over that? Go to Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy 1. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says there, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God, thy fathers, has said unto thee, fear not. Neither be discouraged. You know what's going on in this chapter of scriptures here. God told them to go out and to take this land. A very prosperous land. And so they went out. Matter of fact, they brought a bunch of grapes home with them. You know, I get in the grocery store, I look at that bunch of grapes. I pick it up like that, no big deal, no, you know, nothing. Okay? I can afford to buy that. Amen? But these guys, two guys, put one bunch of grapes on a pole to bring it back. That's how prosperous this land was. The fruit was great, wonderful. But then some of them got discouraged and said, we can't go. Can't go. Can't go. Why? What's there? Well, the walls are higher than what were normal. So what? The people are bigger than normal. So what? But we just can't take that land because look at us. But there was two guys there that said, we can take it. We can take it. We can take it. They got discouraged. I wonder how many churches today that were on fire at one time, winning souls, left, right. But all of a sudden, somebody got discouraged, and they closed it down. So, I don't stand before God. And God asked me about that situation. There was a time I didn't know anything about knocking on doors. My brother and I started up a bus ministry for First Baptist Church in Fremont, Michigan. Beautiful bus. Nobody wanted to do anything about it. So we took it 10 miles out in the country and started a bus ministry, okay? We had 36 people riding. People, not kids, amen. Had adults riding, amen. 21 decisions for Christ, amen. Hello? There's churches around like that today. They've got buses sitting in the parking lot that's not going anywhere, not doing anything, gathering dust, amen. Why? They've given up. They quit. They quit. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross, knowing what was waiting for him. You know, it's grace. First Samuel, chapter number 30. 1 Samuel 30. God is looking for some people to stand up and say, here am I, send me. The Bible says, David went out and conquered many a town, amen? But he was told to go out. So he and the guys went out and left their children, their wives behind. They took off to conquer another city. But some came in with an ambush behind them, amen, and took their children and took their wives, amen, into captivity, burned their city. The Bible says there, 1 Samuel, in verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. The people spake of stoning him. These are men they fought with from time to time again, battle after battle, one. But here it is, it's turned around. Something happened. And they're speaking about stoning him. We're tired of this, David. You're the cause for this. But, what it says there? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When discouragement starts coming knocking on your door, you need to fall down on your knees and start praying to God. Saying, God, I need your help. I'm here. I'm under attack. I need your help. Please help me, dear God. And he'll help you. He'll help you. I've been there. 15 back surgeries. 17 years in a wheelchair. I've been there, but I didn't quit. I always knew I was going to be back preaching again sometime, somewhere. We came off the road. I had back trouble down in Alabama. That's where my back went, down there. Missed the meeting. My back goes. Doctor says, get back to mission. So I preached my way back to mission. I was in so much pain, I could hardly stand it. I wasn't going to quit. I thought I'd go home, have one surgery, back on the road again. We were busy all the time. First surgery failed. Second surgery. I thought, is there ever going to be an end to this? We prayed. Back surgery number 15. I was in the hospital for 2 months. In so much pain. But it happened, the last doctor did surgery on me, fused my back there, and she couldn't find any reason for surgery, she says. But the doctor told me that when he went and did surgery on me, he took those screws with his fingers and took them out like that. That's how much pain I was in. Bone, rubbing his bone. Agonizing pain. The therapy would come in and do therapy for me. And I said, it's not going to do any good. And they set me up. I'd pass out. I passed out over 40 times in the hospital. The doctor finally came in. He says, I'm never going to help you. That's good. Let's do it. After back surgery number 15, I gave that doctor a gospel tract. I said, go home and read that, please. I could have walked home that day. After 17 years in a wheelchair, I could have walked home. Hello, pain was gone. Pain was gone. I could walk again. It's the same Jesus that gave sight to the blind. Just heal the lame man again, amen. Hello. Isn't it wonderful to know him? Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you what. Some cheap shots from a stinking devil. He wants you distressed. He wants you discouraged. And then, thirdly, he wants you distracted. He wants to distract you. David, victorious David, stayed home from church one day. Hello. Like some people do at church. They stay home and watch the ball game, you know, something like that. The guy just got to watch this ball game because the team might win. But David stayed home from battle. He went up on top of his mansion there, and he looked across, and he should have just went back into his mansion and just forgot about what he saw. They saw this woman taking a bath. Hello? And David got distracted right then and there. I know men of God that I have had meetings with, amen, tent meetings with, that are no longer preachers today. Why? They got distracted by something. Hello? One man was a friend of mine. But another woman came by. Married. Another woman came by and got distracted. I've seen people, pastors, that got distracted by numbers. You know? Now, Bill, the biggest Sunday school in the world, got distracted. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody got saved that said they got saved in Chicago, amen. Then the entire city of Chicago should be born again, amen. But distractions will come. The devil is there to wave that distraction in front of your face to get you sidetracked off onto something else, going another direction. Well, it's just another cheap shot from a sticking devil. He's good at distracting. He's good at distracting. You know Eve, Adam and Eve. Everybody blames Eve for the sin coming into the world, but Adam was right there next to her, amen. Remember Eve? God told Adam and Eve both, you can have this garden. It's a perfect garden. There, everything that they'd ever dreamed of having except for one tree. You stay away from that one tree. But the devil said, I can't have this. See, the devil used to be around perfection when he started out, amen. I think he was an angel of music in heaven. Wonderful music. But something distracted him. Huh? He said, I'm going to be like God. Uh-oh. The devil came to Eve and said, hey, Eve. Beautiful garden. Yeah, it's a beautiful garden. That's right, Satan. Well, what about the tree? No, I can't have that. I cannot have that. Yes, just leave me alone. Can't have that. Time and time again, he kept coming to her and saying, Eve, try that. Can't do it. Finally, one day, he said, Eve, just one will not hurt you. There's alcoholics today because of one drink. There's people that are on drugs because of one shot or one pill. Just one will not hurt you. And that's the devil distracting you, getting off the beaten path. Eve. Not Samson. Samson was a mighty man. You know? And he really wasn't no bigger than you, fella. I mean, a scrawny guy, but he wasn't no bigger. People think Samson, he's the strongest guy in the world, big old Hercules. No, he was just a mild guy. But when the Spirit of God fell upon that man, boy, he could tear things up bad, man. But then one day, Samson was where he wasn't supposed to be and looked across that line and saw a woman he wanted to have. Daddy, go get her for me. If my son would have come to me and told me to do that, I'd have kicked him in the butt. Get out of here. I introduced my oldest boy to his wife. He was so shy. He was working on a church in Kentucky. Chrissy was there. Nice looking girl. I said, hey, John. Yeah? Sitting girl? Yeah. We'll talk to her. He was shy and all get out, man. They finally started talking to each other. Back when I used to pay for the phone bills, My son would call Chris and he'd say, "Hi." I'd look at him, "You gonna say anything else?" That's it. "I said, I'm paying for this phone bill. Please say something to her." My goodness. I got 4 children now. You got over shyness, amen. But the devil wants to distract you. Samson saw that woman. He said, "I got to have that woman over there." And that woman was nothing more than a distraction that the devil had right there waiting for him to come by. Amen. Because the devil knew about Samson. "Samson, if you love me, tell me your strength." So he said, "Yeah, well, just tie me up and I'll be meek as other men." Samson, they're piles. "Oh, Samson, come on. Got right down to the point of this. Samson, if you really love me, you tell me the strength of that." It cost him. He got distracted. Somebody else got distracted. Peter. Remember Peter? Peter walked with our Savior. Peter was there when the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000 plus with just a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fishes. Amen. He saw the miracle. The Lord sent him across the sea. They got out there and they got distracted because of a storm. Amen. And here comes Jesus walking on the sea. 2 men that day walked on water. They all said, "Hey, it's a spirit." They were just with him. Saw him do the miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus there. They saw the miracle, but it's a spirit. The Lord said, "It's me." Then Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come." As he got down that boat, he started walking. 2 men walked on the water that day. Peter was headed for the Savior. Headed dead on to the Savior. But something happened to Peter out there on that water. A distraction came. I'm telling you the truth, folks. The same thing will happen to you and to me if we're not careful. The devil's got all to flank us here, flank us. He wants to do something to call and catch your eye off from the church, off from God, off from serving him. Any way that he can possibly do it. You know, I'll tell you what. Our eyes need to be one place. Hebrews, if you will. Chapter number 12. Verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the throne of God." The Bible says there, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He is everywhere. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us." It could be just something simple that will distract us. Hello. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we'll do all right. Second Corinthians, chapter number 5. You probably know the verse. I'll read it to you again. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New." The devil is good. time. My daddy had Faith Baptist Church, Dalton, Michigan. I was downstairs in the basement. A big old fly had caught itself in a web. It's still alive. I said, "Daddy, Daddy, come on, Daddy, you got a seat. Come on down here." He came down here. "What, son?" "Fly, you want me to set him free?" He said, "No." I said, "But I can set him free." He said, "No, just leave him alone." All right. 2 days later, went back down and stopped again. There was that fly. But he wasn't moving. "Daddy, come on. Daddy, I got something to show you. Come here." "Come on, what?" I said, "The fly. It's not moving. What's wrong, Daddy?" My dad said this. I'll never forget what he said. "His son, that fly got too close to the web. And that spider kept going down, latching on here, latching on there." I said, "But why isn't it moving, Daddy?" He said, "That fly is dead. It's dead." He said, "That spider ate that fly inside out." Sin will do the same thing to you and me. It'll eat from inside out. We've been in churches where we see a lot of empty shells. People just sitting there doing nothing for God. Why? Something happened in their life. Got too close to the line. Got caught. There they are sitting. Empty life. Empty life. That fly. It still had shape and form. Still looked like a fly. But it wasn't moving at all. Why? Distractions. What about you tonight? Right? Cheap shots from a stinking devil. He wants you discouraged. He wants you distressed. He wants you distracted. You're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. You got to keep on, keeping on, keeping on. Hello. How about you? I turned my back on God one time, a long time ago. And I regret every moment of that. How dare I turn my back on the Savior who went all the way to the cross of Calvary and bled and died and woke up at that tomb 3 days later. He did that for me, that for you. I wonder. The devil brought some distress your way tonight? Some discouragement your way tonight? Are you discouraged? I'm going to tell you the story. I'll tell you right now. We started at bus ministry, First Baptist Church. I was glad. I would go with my brother, carry tracts, Bible. I'd just be a help to him, no problem. You don't like that? We knocked on this mobile home. He said, "Tim, this one's yours." I said, "What? I ain't never done this before. This one's yours." I said, "Don't do this to me, Doug. I can't do this." And he walked way over by the steps and he says, "I'm not saying a word." Covered his mouth. "Yours?" I'm going and walking. Creak, 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 getting close to that door. I started breaking the sweat, folks. What am I going to do? I've never done this before in my life. What am I going to say to this woman? I don't know what. I've never been in school, taught, anything. She opens the door. "Yes. Ma'am, we're from First Baptist Church." "Yes." I said, "We're inviting people to come to church." "Yes." We'd like to come pick up your children." "Sir." "Yes." "How old do you think I am?" I said, "I don't know." An old lady. She said, "I have no children." "But ma'am, we'll pick you up." And just like that. God did something to this guy here. I love knocking on doors now. You ain't going to find, you don't know what you're going to talk about when you get behind doors, amen? Talk about fishing, hunting, old cars, old trucks. But make sure you get run to God, amen? You'll win people to Christ, amen? We're in this one house, we're in that bus ministry. I went out by myself. Don't ever go knocking on doors by yourself. It's a bad, bad thing, folks. Bad. And I was out by myself. This house, little red house. 4 people, a mom and dad, 2 girls. I wanted to get to them real quick. They got in my car, started walking towards the door. They had a nice dog sitting out there beside the desk, right beside the door there. I said, "How you doing, fella?" He started wagging his tail. Friendly dog. Wagging his tail. That's what they say. He's a friendly dog. I said, "How you doing, fella?" He's going to pay his hand. He bit me. He got in a good bait. I put my hand back. I was all over the ground. Blood all over. What did you do? Kill the dog? No. I ruined a good pair of pants. Stuck the hand in that, knocked me in the hand, and won four people to Christ. They never knew about the dog. Hello? You'd be surprised what you're going to find out there behind closed doors. And anybody can do it. The Bible says there's fruit in old age. Thank God I reached the old age. I'm as old as you are now. You're 57, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
I'll tell you what, folks, there's lots of things you can do out there. But the word is never going to get out unless this starts working here, talking to people out there. Hello? Hello? Got a lot of personal experience, I can tell you. A lot of personal experience. I've had children come up to me and say, "Mr. Quick, I wish you was my daddy." Why? Showed them a little love. Hello. We have this cat at home. I'm going to be done. Her name is Hershey. My grandson, he's living with them now. He was about 7 years old. We live on a farm, big old barn out there with lots of cats. "Grandma, can you get me a kitten?" He says, "Yeah, I'll try." This black and brown kitten out there, just a beautiful cat. My wife tried to get his attention. It would not do it. Would not come. So my wife said, "I'm going to get that kitten." And she brought some table scraps and put it down beside the fence post and waited. It wasn't long. That kitten started smelling something different besides that old barn. Something better. Something a little bit better. That's not the barn I smell. Something better. It wasn't long. That kitten was eating the table scraps. It wasn't long. My wife coaxing that kitten along. That kitten was rubbing up against my wife's legs. It wasn't long, and that kitten, found a new home. Am I getting across to you? There's a whole bunch of people out here that need a new home. Maybe showed some love. That kitten didn't know anything about love. Them cats out there, they were wild cats. I call Hershey our Baptist kitty. Baptist kitty, yes. We saved her from that wicked crowd, amen, that she lived with. She ain't been baptized. Yes, she's been baptized. Hello? I gave her some flea medicine one day. She started puking and coughing and stuff like that. I called the vet. My cat's doing it. He said, "Get her underwater." That's what I mean. Submerge her or she's going to die. So I filled up the sink and I said, "Come here, Hershey. Me and the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Boosh. It's our Baptist kitty. Hello. But that cat found something different besides that old wicked barn. Why? Because we showed that kitten something different. We all have the same job. It's not just up to pastors and preachers. We all have the same job of going out, our neighbors, our families, whoever, bringing them in, showing them some love. Well, show them a little bit of love. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? Stand up, please, heads bowed, eyes closed.